Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, is back to throw. Lines the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Medem.
And we welcome you back here on Giants.com. This one is in the books, and somehow, some way, the Giants managed to walk away with a victory 41-34 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eli Manning, who had three interceptions in the first half that the Buccaneers turned into 21 points, winds up finishing with 510 yards through the air, two touchdowns in the second half. And when I say two touchdowns, two big-time plays. Martellus Bennett from 33 yards out. And then Victor Cruz, who had big play potential written all over him last season, picks up where he left off, an 80-yard connection. That's what tied the game up at 27 once Andre Brown had the two-point conversion. And then Bennett had that go-ahead touchdown in a four-play 67-yard drive. That had made it 34-27. Tampa Bay didn't bat an eyelash. They came back, five plays, 80 yards. Mike Williams out jumps Justin Tryon for 41 yards. So we're knotted then at 34. Still under 2 minutes left in this one. Four plays, 80 yards. The Giants respond again as Andre Brown runs in from 1 yard out. The previous play was first and 10 from the Tampa Bay 11. Brown ran for 10, then slid, went down at the 1. Tampa Bay was going to let him have the touchdown. They were able to run an additional play. Nonetheless, the Giants went ahead. Tampa Bay then got it with just under a minute remaining. Freeman hooked up with Vincent Jackson for 19 yards. This was first and 10 from the Tampa Bay 36. And then this was the play of the game, arguably. First and 10 from the Giants 45. He goes to Mike Williams down the left sideline. Williams beats Justin Tryon, appears to make the catch, takes a step, takes a hit from Antrell Roe. The ball starts to move out of his hand, loses it as he goes out of play. They challenge it. They take a look. It was under 2 minutes. And it turned out that they overturned it because he did not, in the interpretation of the official, have full possession of the football and then take enough steps to warrant a catch. And that's another example as to why you never should give up on a play. Because Tryon was beat. Mike Williams made a nice grab, maybe between two defenders. But Roll, knowing that he wasn't yet out of bounds, got another hit on him. And that last hit is what forced the ball to bobble out. Now, that wasn't going to be a touchdown. But the bottom line is, you then back up Tampa Bay with even less time, and you force them to have to make even more of a difficult play. And it winds up being an interception by Michael Boley, and that seals the game. The Giants made the plays when they needed to in the second half. You know, we hear the term, it's a tale of two halves. There's no better way to describe this football game than a tale of two halves. I mean, it was the real ugly in the first half. You don't win too many football games when you have three interceptions from your star quarterback and the opposition turns that into 21 points. It's just not happening more often than not. The Bucs had a lot of momentum heading into the locker room. Eric Wright returns an interception for 60 yards. No one made much of an effort on the Giants' offense to bring him down. And Tampa Bay sitting pretty, 24-13 at the break. They get the ball back to start the third quarter. They tack on an additional field goal. So it's a two-touchdown cushion with still plenty of time left. But they have all the momentum. The Giants were in need of righting the ship. And give credit to the defense. I know Justin Tryon gave up that game-tying touchdown to Mike Williams. and they had some big plays that they gave up in the secondary. Vincent Jackson, 5 catches, 128 yards and a touchdown. But the defense, for the most part, kept the Bucs off the board after that early field goal. They hadn't scored until that late touchdown in the fourth quarter. If the Giants' defense doesn't do that type of job and force one punt after the other, the Giants' offense may have not been in a position to even tie this game. So the defense certainly regrouped in the second half. And maybe regroup is not the correct term, because really when you look at this game, specifically how the Giants performed in the first half, it wasn't necessarily on the defense. You know, the Giants coughed the ball up play after play, but Tampa Bay had great field position. The Giants, after one interception after the other from Eli Manning, I mean, it was Tampa Bay getting the ball within the Giants' 20. So Josh Freeman didn't have to go the length of the field. He didn't even have to go half the field. It's hard to put that on your defense when you're really putting their backs against the wall. That's how Tampa Bay scored 21 points. And one of the interceptions was returned while the defense wasn't even on the field. So the struggles of the first half, not on the defense. Struggles of the first half are on the offense. Missed opportunities, penalties, drop passes, bad decision-making by Eli Manning. And they turned things around. 25 fourth-quarter points. I mean, Tampa Bay's defense wore down when it came to crunch time. Akeem Nicks had a huge day. Aqib Talib was doing a lot of grabbing. He was doing a lot of pushing. He was doing a lot of shoving. And there were a lot of calls that could have been made throughout this game on both sides. And we saw that in the Dallas Cowboys game last week. The Giants fought through it, and they still came through with the big plays. Because even though Akeem Nicks was pushed and shoved, and how many times have you seen this in the NFL and any other sports? You're not getting the calls, the level of frustration builds, and it impacts the level of play out of that player. Now, Akeem Nicks did not miss a beat. He had a 50-yard grab, had a 20-yard catch. He kept moving the chains, kept finding space down the sidelines. And then Victor Cruz picked up where Akeem Nicks led off. And Martellus Bennett once again chipped in with some key plays to continue to move the chains. He had a touchdown for the second consecutive week. Did he add some drops? Absolutely. Did he have some drops in the previous game? Absolutely. But when you overcome a lot of these issues, that says a lot about the mental fortitude of this team. And this is a momentum shifter. This could be a momentum shifter, I should say. It's all about what the Giants can do next. They've got a short week. They'll travel to Carolina for a Thursday night matchup. But all of a sudden, things are changing in the locker room after a performance like this. At halftime, there weren't too many smiles in that locker room. The Giants appeared as if they were heading to an 0-2 start. And they outscore the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 28-10 in the final two quarters. Walk away with a 41-34 win. And now are 1-1 on the season heading into that Panther game. All of a sudden, things are looking a lot differently than it was at halftime. That's why I said the best way to describe this game is a tale of two halves. And as I mentioned, I thought the defense, for the most part, held its own in the first half despite the offensive struggles. And I know we're probably getting a lot of calls. Justin Tryon struggled. He's got to be more aggressive getting to the football. And that's understandable. That's fair criticism. But also keep in mind, you know, Prince Amukamara, the expectations are that they'll get him back for Thursday's game, assuming that he can maybe get a practice or two under his belt and the medical people clear him. So all of a sudden now, you'd have Prince Amukamara and you'd have Corey Webster as your starters. You've got Hosley now as your nickel corner and another guy that could step up. You still have Michael Coe. He made it through this game despite the hamstring issues. And then Justin Tryon moves a bit down the depth chart. That's what happens when you get back to full health. Now, there are injury concerns to come out of this game. And the reason why they're a little bit more concerning is the fact that it's a short week. We are awaiting Tom Coughlin's press conference. I know we have a handful of calls on hold. Stay tuned. Stay patient. We're going to get to as many calls as we can here on our post-game show. Glad to have you aboard. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Keep it handy. 201-939-4513. If you can't get through on the lines, you can chime in on Twitter. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow me on Twitter, interact with me on Twitter throughout the show, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name spelled M-E-D-O-W. Okay, Tom Coughlin is heading to the podium. We're going to hear from him. We'll return to take your calls. Let's hear from the head coach.
Kind of a lesser group of men, I think, would have had trouble. And even coming out in the second half, we didn't start off necessarily very well right away in the start of the second half. But, we hung in and we kept playing and we did obviously went back and forth there late. Their quarterback hit a couple of big plays. Our quarterback hit some big plays. So it was right down to the wire, but thank goodness we're so happy to be 1-1 at this juncture. And there's plenty of stuff to correct, and we'll work to get that corrected, but it's a lot better correcting when you win.
Coach, you talk about Eli, first half Eli versus rest of the game Eli.
Well, he hung in there. You know, that's the best example I can tell you, as he does. He made a couple bad plays, and yet he didn't get discouraged. We got him together when we first came in at the half and talked about, the character of our team would show up in the second half, how we needed to play, what we needed to do to get back in this thing. We were only down two scores, but we just weren't playing very well. And he kept hanging in and believing and looking for his spots, and he got a few and took full advantage of it. And then finally the big play came back in for us.
How did the injuries impact on you guys offensively?
Well, it puts you in a state for a while where you're, trying to settle down. They happened so quick. We're in a goal line situation. You usually don't think that's a real danger area. And David Deal, who's been like an Iron Man here, he gets hurt. And I didn't even know the circumstance around Bradshaw's injury, but the next thing you know, he was out, and Hickson was out. You give Sean Locklear, you got to give people credit. I mean, he starts out playing on the left side. He has to go over on the right side. Some people really did step forward and play very, very well under the circumstances and give us a chance to win. And that's exactly what they did.
Do you have any updates on the injured players?
No,
I don't. Phillips hit, and that seemed to change the momentum, got the crowd back into the game.
Yeah, it was a thoroughly legal hit, too. I mean, they were over there yelling and screaming, but it was a legal hit, and it did get us a little juice.
Bounce back, tough week for him and the way he did it.
Yeah, he very, 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 very deep and personal loss for Victor Cruz and losing his grandmother. And, he was very emotional. He stated, I think, that everyone saw how much he loved his grandmother. But he went through all that. He missed one day of practice. He was excited to play today. We made him a captain. And he certainly came up with a very big game.
You talk about the way he had limited practice and the way.
I mean, you can't say enough about what he was able to do. I mean, he goes out there with one day's practice and made an awful lot of plays in the game, plays that gave us opportunities, kept us in the game for a long time there with the way he played. And he's a great competitor. He loves to play and. Of course, he loves to be in a game like this when the ball's in the air.
Did you think about taking some more time off?
I did. That's definitely something that I'm not comfortable with, not taking the touchdown. I'm going to take the touchdown, but I could have taken some more time off, and that's on me.
What about your pass rush today?
Excuse me.
The pass rush on Freeman
today. They got the ball out quick, but we still got some good pressure on them. It wasn't It's kind of the way the script looks like it's probably going to be for us. And we worked and worked and worked, and we caused some bad throws, some throws that were not complete. He played very well, but we did get after him a little bit. Andre comes to the park, and he's not sure what his role is going to be because we had our plays for David and, of course, Ahmad, and then when Ahmad went down, Andre was on all kinds of special teams, and there he was going to be the primary back, and I thought he did very well. I don't know exactly what it looks like from a pass protection standpoint yet, but he did catch the ball well and run with the ball, protect the ball. He's the one that knelt down there and didn't score, and and I figured 31 seconds was, but that was my error.
Lions head coach Tom Coughlin, and now we're joined in the locker room by Eli Manning. The Eli Manning interview brought to you by Toyota, the official vehicle of the New York Giants. And crazy game, huh?
A little bit. Obviously, kind of tail two halves. And, you know, defense did a great job keeping us in the game, especially in the second half, you know, not giving up much and giving us the ball back quickly and getting some turnovers. And offensively, we stayed positive. Guys kept fighting. And sure enough, second half started making better decisions and gave our guys opportunities to win the game.
How difficult was it? You lose Deal and Hixon within the span of a couple plays, and then Ahmad goes out in the next series. A lot of moving parts early.
Yeah, you know, you never like to lose guys, especially important guys like that. With Deal, and then Ahmad's out, and then Hixon. So obviously, I thought our guys stepped up. You know, Will Beattie comes in. Receivers, Ramsey's the guys, all the guys, and so then Andre comes in and runs the ball well and pass protects. So all three of those guys stepped up big.
How'd you guys not get frustrated in the second half when you kept settling for threes?
You know, I guess you just kept looking at the score and say, all right, we're still in there. If we go score a touchdown, we're back in. And then I say, hey, all right, now we're only down eight. So now if we score a touchdown, we can go for two and tie it up. So you just kept chipping away and knowing, he still can't force anything. Don't make the mistake. And, we'll keep getting down there, and hopefully next time we'll punch it in. And then finally when we needed the touchdown when you're down eight, we got it, got the two-point conversion, and, a couple other big drives to go win the game.
Obviously Victor and Akeem are big play guys for you, but talk about the wheel route down the sideline to Bennett.
Yeah, that was a great catch by him. Putting it up high for him, let him go up and get it. So, we were close. On so many plays, me and Martellus today had the one in the end zone that we didn't quite get. Had one down the seam that right outreach of his arm. So we're close to getting them touchdowns, and sure enough, he made a big play right there and get the score.
What does it say about this team when the stadium's booing and things just aren't going well that this team was able to fight back down 14?
Yeah, I think that's big. That, the defense never lost doubt in us, and they didn't start. They knew we'd eventually get it going. They were going to get us some turnovers, so they were fired up offensively. The guys knew, hey, we can go score. We can go do it, and we knew we'd turn it around. And so I think no one lost their cool. Everybody kept their confidence, and made a few plays and saw some opportunities, and just rolled off that in the second half, and put up some points and fought back in the game, and great stop at the end.
All right, thanks, Eli.
Thanks, Bob.
All right.
All right, so that was head coach Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. You heard their thoughts following the Giants' 41-34 win as they score 28 points in the second half, 25 in the fourth quarter. And Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin talked about the play of Akeem Nicks and Victor Cruz. Nicks had 10 catches for 199 yards and a touchdown. Victor Cruz, 11 catches for 179 and a touchdown. It was an emotional week for Cruz as he lost his grandmother earlier this week, missed Friday's practice, came out with an inspirational performance. Also, it was important for him to bounce back given his numerous drop passes last week, so he came back big time. And Akeem Nicks, who is still trying to overcome the broken foot and gain back his full momentum and his full force, comes through with a huge game despite a lot of pushing and shoving that was going on between him and Aqib Talib, and it wasn't always called throughout the course of this game. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513, and we open up the line. Start with Steve in Connecticut. Steve, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on, Lance, man? Oh, up and down, up and down. Question, Akeem Nicks, like, with his injury recovering, he's normally scheduled to do the one practice a week, and that's on Thursday, but we play Carolina this Thursday, so how's that going to work? Is he going to practice at all, or maybe sneak one in on Wednesday, or what?
Well, I would assume that they'll probably maybe try to get him some work in potentially Tuesday. I doubt he'll do much of anything tomorrow. Usually tomorrow they'll use a day to recuperate and recover. You may see him get some work in on Tuesday, but it also would not surprise me if they really try to rest him given the short turnaround. And also, I don't know if you saw late in the game, it seemed as if he rolled over on that right ankle. Fortunately, he missed one play and then came back in, because I'm sure a lot of Giants fans were saying, oh no, not again. God forbid he re-aggravated that injury. So they'll probably give him some rest. They've got to manage that injury at least for the first couple of weeks till he feels as if he's not having any more pain from week to week. but don't expect to see much out of Nix probably at practice. I think they can afford to give him some additional rest, given that they got to get him back on the field Thursday.
Right. And what's your grade on J'Ron Hosley? Because I mean, he's a rookie. I don't want to go too high, but I give him a B+ so far.
Listen, Hosley has been thrown into the mix due to injuries, so it's baptism by fire for the rookie. I think that as the season progresses, he'll have more experience under his belt and he'll get better. You know, they look at him as primarily a nickel corner, somebody who can add some depth to the secondary. I mean, their goal is to get Prince Amukamara and Corey Webster out there together. And then guys like Coe, Tryon, and Hosley are going to provide the second layer of defense that they can turn to in certain schemes, certain packages, but not necessarily be every down backs. And I think they also look at Hosley as a guy that eventually can be a key contributor on special teams. Remember, Hickson now suffered a concussion, so his status is going to be iffy for Thursday. Reuben Randall and Wilson, I think, have done a nice job in providing some flashes in the special teams game. Would not surprise me if maybe Hosley gets some opportunities. But overall, he's going to learn from game to game. And the expectations are, from the Giants' perspective, that if they could get Prince out there, that's the two guys that they would like to see in combination together, Prince and Amukamara. Hosley, it's going to be a learning curve, like any other rookie. The Giants coaches will even tell you. He's had his highs, he's had his lows, but for the most part, it was Tryon that probably had the roughest day out of the secondary, and it was mainly because of the lack of aggressiveness in which Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams went up and made plays. As a corner, you know, you got to be with the guy every step of the way, but you also need to remember where the football is. Keep your eyes on that. That's something that Hosley has to keep in mind, as well as everybody else. You got part one of the battle is to stick with your defender. Part two is to put your hands up to try to maybe make a play or a deflection.
All right, cool. Moving forward, though, if Bradshaw is back, which I'm pretty sure he should, I still think Andre Brown earned his way to see some more carries, even with Bradshaw in there starting. What do you think about that?
Andre Brown was a big bright spot for the Giants today. 13 carries, 71 yards, had the game-winning touchdown. I think his decision-making was what really stood out. He went with what the offensive line gave him. He ran right up the gut and gave them some strong runs to get that offense going. He didn't do any dancing. He wasn't indecisive. Tom Coughlin mentioned that, the key thing that they're going to look at off the film is how well he did with respect to pass protection. Manning didn't seem, had any time on the ground today. Did take a hit or two, but for the most part, I thought the offensive line and the running backs did a better job than they did last week in terms of pass protection. Andre Brown is another guy that, in the event that somebody gets hurt, and we still don't know the severity of Bradshaw's injury. I think it was a positive that he was on the sideline. And Steve, appreciate the phone call. Certainly want to get to a handful of other people here on the postgame show. But if Bradshaw can't get back on the field Thursday, the Giants have to feel good that Andre Brown, this was his first real opportunity to make a key contribution. He was on IR in seasons prior. He's been bounced around the league. This was an opportunity for him to take advantage, show the coaches what he's made of. And they turned to him immediately. They didn't necessarily turn to David Wilson. David Wilson played his fair share of snaps, but when it came to the bulk of the carries, Andre Brown's number was the one that got called. And Brown helped provide somewhat of a spark, gave them some type of a balance on the offensive side of things, and that's important. So moving forward, if Bradshaw can't go, I think Brown is the guy that may have solidified a role in front of Wilson at this point that they can look at as an every down back. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on Twitter, #GiantsChat. You can interact with me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, @LanceMeadow, last name Medow. We go back to the lines. We got Casey in Jersey. Casey, what you got?
I just want to say what I said at the end of the first half, and I kind of want to hear your opinion on it. Not in or all in is really what I get from this Giants team. It seems like they don't play their hearts out and they don't make the big plays all around until they need to. And it doesn't necessarily scare me because I do have faith in the team, but how How do they need to improve on that? Is, I guess, really what I want to ask your opinion on.
Well, getting off to a faster start is number one, and it's probably the obvious answer. You know, you can't rely on having these late-game heroics. It's something that I pointed out in the pregame show. Last year, Manning set a record. You know, every game, it seemed, they had their backs against the wall. They had some defensive struggles, and Manning would put together these phenomenal performances in the fourth quarter, which he did. He regrouped today. I mean, it was a rough first half to have three interceptions, allow all those points, and give it up to the Bucs, and then, you know, pull a 180 in the second half. Certainly says a lot about Eli Manning and the offense. But you're right. You know, moving forward, you want to see a performance where they're playing solid football for all four quarters. I think Tom Coughlin and company would be the first ones to say that. I don't know necessarily if after two games you can say it's a trend, it's something to be concerned about, but you definitely want to get off to a faster start if you're the Giants at this point, because the level of competition is going to get harder and harder as the weeks go by.
I agree. I mean, I take it back even to before the Super Bowl last year, until the Jets game, when they beat up on the Jets, and that kind of got the momentum going. It's not that I don't see the whole team playing as hard as they can. It's just that I feel like you said, it's until they get their back up against the wall, they're not going to produce the things that we all know they're capable of producing.
It's almost when they get their backs up against the wall, Casey, there's that sense of urgency that clicks in, and all of a sudden they realize that they need to take it up a notch. So that's a fair point that you certainly bring to the forefront. But as I said, effort, I think, was there today. What you could contribute to their struggles in the first half was a lack of execution and mental errors. That's the one thing they need to show that they can overcome, that they need to be fully focused right from the start. They need to be clicking on all angles and all cylinders. They can't afford to let two quarters go by and then all of a sudden hit their stride in the third quarter. Because let's be honest, Tampa Bay could have easily put this game further away. If you're the Bucs,
they were not
as efficient on offense themselves. So the Giants were fortunate that the defense limited the damage. But at the end of the day, this is not the trend that you want to have set from weeks coming up.
All right, thanks, Lance. We'll see you Thursday night.
You got it, Casey. Appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. We go real far. We dial up collect for this one. Eric is in Australia. Eric, what you got?
Yeah, hello, and good afternoon to you. It's already Monday morning over here, 6:54 a.m. It's one of the things that, and first of all, God bless Giants.com, because there are a lot of American expats over here who do tune in to, of course, this website and others, and, you know, who do follow the NFL. Now, I've been a Giants fan for a long time. Now, one of the things I thought I would ask you, and that is, you talked about with that last caller, the urgency that the Giants as a team, they seem to play better once they have the matter of urgency. But as a fan, you get a bit frustrated. Like, for example, when the Giants took the lead, when the score was 34-27, there was no pressure on the backfield, and you got to ask why. Why does that happen? The other thing I wanted to certainly point out, too, was the play of Andre Brown. I hope to see this guy a lot more. And the third thing would be, with the short week coming up, it seems that the Giants are banged up. Do you see that as being problematic? And I'll let you get back to the rest of your callers. Great show, by the way.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Appreciate the phone call and appreciate you following from overseas. And we will continue to provide continuous coverage here on Giants.com. And I know, in addition to Eric, a lot of other people who are in the armed forces, and we certainly appreciate their efforts. Follow the team through Giants.com, and we have a daily morning show from 9:30 to 10:30 Eastern that you can get the latest on, and we take your phone calls on that as well. So a lot certainly coming up throughout the course of the season here on Giants.com. But picking up on a couple of Eric's points, number one, with respect to Andre Brown, I know Casey hit on this as well. It's certainly a bright spot to have some extra depth in the running game. You know, David Wilson wasn't given much of an opportunity last week because of the fumble. He was involved in a couple of more plays today. I think they look at him right now as more of a special teamer who can provide some type of a change of pace in the running game. He did have a drop pass early in the game that hurt them and affected the offense from being able to move the chains, and that was on the very first drive. It was 2nd and 7 from the Tampa Bay 19. Wilson dropped the pass that probably would have given them a first down, and maybe I'm being nitpicky here, but there's a learning curve, just like Jayron Hosley with respect to Wilson. pass protection, mentally staying in the course of the game and not having those mental mistakes. He gets that under his belt. He puts that behind him. You're going to see a lot more of Wilson on the offensive side. But for Andre Brown to, I don't want to say come out of nowhere, the Giants were very high on him, and they had placed him on IR a year ago. They didn't want to put him out on the market. They felt this was a guy that had ability, he had versatility, he had experience. So that's why they protected him. Now that he's fully healthy, this is what they expect to see out of Andre Brown week in and week out. When Brandon Jacobs left to go to the San Francisco 49ers, the goal was, we don't have to go out of market to bring in another talent. The Giants were confident in what they had in-house, and then they went the route of the draft to add some more depth. So if this is a starting point for Andre Brown, that's a big positive for the Giants, especially, as Eric just alluded to, it's a short week. So there's no guarantee that Bradshaw is going to be ready to go Thursday. There's no guarantee David Deal is going to be ready to go Thursday. The guys who played the bulk of the second half could very well play the entire game on Thursday. Is it troubling that all of these injuries happened with respect to the short week? To answer the question, it's troubling regardless of whether they had a full week or 2 weeks to recover. You never want to see guys go down, especially at the rate in which they got hurt today. Because you lost an offensive lineman, you lost a fullback in Heinoski, you lost your starting running back. You lost three starters in the span of about three or four plays. And Akeem Nix, if you thought maybe he may have aggravated something, it was a positive to see he come back. And then Dominic Hixon suffers a concussion, and I would be stunned to see Hixon be back on the field on Thursday, given the rules and the regulations that the NFL have in place. You never want to put a guy out there and put him in jeopardy of re-aggravating, especially when you're talking about a head injury. So that means Ramsey's Bard and Reuben Randall could have more opportunities on Thursday. They're going to rest as much as they can over the next couple of days. Wednesday, they're going to head down to Carolina. All of a sudden, you know, it's a quick week. You really got Monday and Tuesday to do some preparation, some practice, some medical treatment, and you're getting on a plane Wednesday to go down to Carolina. It's as simple as that. And then you got to get your game face on Thursday. Now, the Panthers are coming off a big momentous win over the Saints today, 35-27. And we'll touch on that a little bit later on the show. I don't want to necessarily preview so much ahead. I know we have a lot of callers still want to break down to today's performance. But that pretty much covers what the injury picture looks like. And we're not going to know more until tomorrow when some of the players get additional tests and the coaching staff pretty much gives out the injury report as to who they may have in play for the Panthers game. The last point that Eric brought up was why there wasn't enough continuous pressure, specifically on the drive in which the Bucs went five plays, 80 yards, after the Giants went up 34-27 on a four-play, 67-yard drive. It wasn't as if the Giants didn't make an effort to dial up the pressure. I think the bottom line was Tampa Bay's offensive line, you got to give them credit, did a really nice job protecting Josh Freeman today. That's why he had time to really hurl it down the field and get to guys like Vincent Jackson and Dallas Clark, even on that later drive. The Giants need to pick their poison when it comes to the pressure. Carl Banks touched on this if you were listening closely to the broadcast. If Doug Martin is not killing you, which he didn't today, the one thing the Giants defense did a nice job is they did not give up the big play on the ground, as they did with respect to DeMarco Murray. Martin had 20 carries for 66 yards. So the Giants said to themselves, we'll let you have 2 to 5 yards per carry with respect to Martin, but we're not going to let you give up the big play down the field to Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams, and Dallas Clark. And I know there were flashes of the big plays. I'm not saying that the secondary played a perfect game. Far from it. There's adjustments that need to be made. But I think that was the Giants' philosophy in the second half. Let's keep the guys in front of us, prevent the big plays from happening, and that's why they decided to drop more guys back in coverage than give them the green light to get to the quarterback. And Tuck, OC, and JPP went after the quarterback, but once again, it was a combination of the Bucs doing a nice job giving Josh Freeman time, and also sending some of your linebackers back into coverage. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Ed in Maryland. Ed, what you got?
Hey, Lance. Great win, first of all. Great win. I almost turned away from the TV a couple times. It was kind of tough to watch. you guys pretty much touched on everything. I've got to give a game ball to Andre Brown. He really ran the ball really strong today, and he looks to be like a future player for the future for us. We have a major problem with the secondary, and I've talked about this before. Guys like Antoine Rowe, he just isn't playing up to his contract. He takes bad angles to the ball all the time. It's like the best thing he really does for us is tackle. He's a great tackler, but in coverage, he just doesn't know how to get over there to his state of the field in time enough. And we have some holes there. And also, Justin Tryon, I mean, he is a fourth corner technically. I was kind of shocked Prince didn't play today. I thought he was going to play. Marvin Austin, I thought he was going to play too, but I didn't see him much today or at all even. So I want to know about Marvin Austin, and also is David Dill, is injury serious, or will he be able to come back Thursday?
All right, well, appreciate the what? You got another thing, Ed?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, appreciate the phone call. I had a lot that you threw out there. Let's touch first on the severity of the injuries. And as I mentioned earlier on the show, at this point, it's way too early to tell. I mean, the fact that David Deal was ruled out so quickly after the injury is a troubling aspect, but I don't want to sit here and speculate because I really don't know much at this point. It's hard to tell what his status is going to be moving forward. I think the fact that there's a short week could very well affect the Giants' mindset. You know, you may not want to throw a guy out there to aggravate an injury further, give him more than a week to recuperate and aim at getting him back for the following Sunday game. That could be the philosophy the Giants take on. Marvin Austin was active today, missed all of the preseason, and was limited in camp because of that lingering back injury. Got some practice work in this week. Didn't expect him to have a major role today. They're going to move him and work him along slowly, similar to how they had the approach with Will Beatty. They got him back on the field. He didn't start immediately. Today, his snaps increased. He played more of a larger role. He had to. That's why Locklear moved to right once Deal went down, and Beatty assumed his left tackle spot. So you could see more of Austin as the season progresses, but it's going to be a slow process. It's not going to come all of a sudden at once to see him play numerous snaps. That's at least the philosophy that they're going to take with respect to Marvin Austin. And Ed also touched on the secondary, which, you know, I gave some time to a bit here on our post-game show. There's still question marks regarding the makeup of the secondary. And Prince Amukamara was somewhat of a surprise that he didn't get out there today. I think Tom Coughlin was optimistic he'd play. Prince was optimistic. But I think it goes back to the philosophy. They said to themselves, they've got a game Thursday. If Prince is not yet 100%, you give him some additional rest, and then you maybe get him ready to go out Thursday with a fresh set of legs compared to how the rest of the team is in. You know, the Panthers and Giants are both at a short week. Nobody's got an advantage. Prince Amukamara may have an advantage because he doesn't have the mileage that's been logged on himself and his body compared to the other guys. So that could be somewhat of an advantage for the Giants. Ed also touched on Antrell Rowe. There were plays early on in the game where you wanted your safety to roll over a little bit quicker, especially when Vincent Jackson was beating Tryon. There were times where Antrell Rowe certainly could have perhaps taken a better angle, could have been in a better position to make a play. The positive is Rowe is at least back in a position that he can flourish, which is that roaming safety spot, where he was reserved last year due to multiple injuries to that corner slot. And he didn't have a lot of flexibility and mobility. So the positive is that he's now readjusting to his mobile safety spot. And also, let's not overlook this. Antrell Rowe doesn't make that play late to force the ball to get bobbled out of Mike Williams' hands. Who's to say this game doesn't go to overtime? Big picture, are there areas to improve? Absolutely. Not just for Rowe, but for the whole team. But you also need to look at those game-changing type of plays and what a veteran brings to the table. Mike Williams makes the catch, pass Tryon. Rowe notices he's not out of play, he still goes for the ball. They review, and it's an incompletion, and not a 20-yard gain. And the Bucs are not knocking on the door in the end zone with still at least two opportunities to throw the ball. Those are the game-changing type of plays that is the difference between a win and a loss. And those are the type of players and the type of plays that you expect when it comes to crunch time. There's pluses and minuses when it comes to a lot of players on this squad. It's only two games, but you know what? Antrell Roll deserves a game ball up there with Andre Brown. Because as I mentioned, with the comeback that they needed to put together today, the Giants needed a play like that to seal the win. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Steven in Florida. Steve, what you got?
Hey, Lance. How you doing?
Doing well, Steven. What you got?
Good, good. I was at a sports bar in Miami, so I couldn't hear any the audio on the game. So, you know, I kind of heard you talking about the injuries, and thanks for the update on that. My biggest concern is defensively. First of all, I was wondering why Justin Tryon was out there on the island in the fourth quarter at the end and not Michael Coe. Did he get hurt again, Coe?
To my knowledge, Michael Coe was healthy. I did not hear or see anything that indicated to me that he was shaken up, nor did Tom Coughlin address anything in the postgame press conference. And I admit, I was like you. I thought, based on Coe's aggressiveness in the preseason and last week, that would have been the guy that I thought they would have lined up on the island. So that's a fair point. Also, given the fact that Coe's got a little bit more size than Tryon does, and if you want to battle the bigger receivers like the Jacksons and the Williams of the world, maybe Coe's a better matchup. So that's a fair point.
Right. Right. You know, look, on the Williams touchdown, he was there. It went off his helmet. It was kind of freaky. But you got to knock that play away. But besides that, the biggest thing that concerns me with them so far, and you kind of touched on it, is the defensive line, to me, besides Pierre Paul, who's motoring all the time, and it seems like there's a lot of holding going on. And that's okay. You can't make excuses for that. But four sacks in two games, I mean, OC and Justin Tuck, in two games, to me, have done almost absolutely nothing. I mean, OC has been a non-entity. So, I mean, I have a lot of concerns with that.
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call, Steven. And that also is certainly a fair point. And Perry Fuel touched on it during the course of this week. Last week against the Cowboys, those three, I'll even throw JPP into the mix. And JPP has made his presence felt. So maybe it's not completely fair to throw them in the mix. But those are your three warriors. When it comes to the defensive line, those are the three names you first throw out. No quarterback hits, no sacks between all three of them last week. JPP did have a sack. He was very aggressive. You saw him roaming around today. But the fact that Tuck and OC haven't had a game-changing type of play is somewhat discouraging. Is it the end of the world? No. Does it mean that they're going to have a rough season? No. Sometimes these things happen in packets. You get a couple of games, all of a sudden the pass rush gets going, and who's to say they don't get six or seven sacks in the next two games combined. That's just how pressure packages work. You got to take sometimes what the offensive line gives you. Part of it, I thought, was also the play of the Bucs' offensive line, and part of it, I think, is what Steven just touched on. There's a lot of holding going on. Is it partially contributed to the fact that we've got replacement officials out there? Absolutely. But you can't really point to the officials as a reason why things are, you know, being played a bit loosely. It's happening in the secondary. It's happening at the line. Not everything's going to get called. If the regular officials were out there, not everything was going to get called as well. There's a lot of borderline plays that you could certainly throw a flag out for. And that contributes to the lack of the pass rush. Because if Tuck and OC are being held by their jerseys, how do you expect them to get to the quarterback? So it's all about them making adjustments and Perry Fuel and Company noticing some trends on film. Because as I mentioned, it's a mimic league. You know, one team looks at the previous week film and says, you know what? Tampa Bay's offensive line got away with this a lot. Let's try to pull that maneuver. And if you're fortunate enough that the officials are not going to throw a flag, who's to say that Carolina's not going to try to pull a fast one? They test the officials. Every team's doing that. Right now, every player on defense and offense is using the first quarter to assess the officiating. Corners are holding guys by the jerseys at the line of scrimmage. Is he giving me some leeway or is he throwing the flag immediately? If he's giving me some leeway, I'm going to fight with the receiver. I'm going to pull him from the back. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen are doing the same thing. That's a result of the officiating and the fact that a lot of these officials, both men and women in the mix, are new to the pace and the speed of the game. We don't know how long this lockout is going to last. You know, based on how labor movements conduct themselves, you got to be patient. But at the end of the day, to sit here and break down the officiating and say, well, if this flag would have been thrown, the Giants wouldn't have been in this position. If this flag wasn't thrown, they wouldn't have been in this position. I think, if anything, to take away from today's performance, the fact that they reviewed that play in which Mike Williams bobbled the ball and overturned it, they got that one right. And I know it was under 2 minutes. They had to review it. But you know what? That's a play that's in the interpretation of the official. And if the official saw in his mind that Williams took a step after he made the catch and still kept possession, they could have easily upheld that call. And that could have been a big game changer in potentially sending this game into overtime. Let's go back to the lines. We got Jack in Virginia. Jack, what you got?
Hey, Lance. Pleasure to talk to you.
Same here, Jack. What you got?
Lance, a couple of things. I think Ed made some great points. Antrell Roll, he's a great run stopper and good on the blitz. Sometimes the coverage, though, leaves a little to be desired. Hopefully they get things worked out in that secondary. Ed made some great points, too. I am a little bit concerned about the defensive line. You brought up some great points about Tampa with the max protect and everything else. These replacement officials, Lance, I'm sorry, have to go. I'm already frustrated with them. Obviously, I can only speak for the game that I watched today, which was obviously the Giants. But listen, the Manning throw where Hosley was into, you know, I mean, where that was an interception. Rondé Barber, you know, he held him.
There was definitely some holding.
That's indisputable. Aikman even said, you know, wow, that he got away with one there. Victor Cruz never got a chance to finish that route. That never should have happened. That never should have been an interception. The push off by Vincent Jackson on Cole, again, not my words. Aikman said Jackson got away with the push off. That ball in the end zone. You know, something like that would happen with Mike Williams. That's, you know, that's luck. This is off a try at it.
All right, Jack, we seem to have a bad connection here. If you have a chance to call back, we'll try to get you back on, but you were breaking up a bit. And what Jack was alluding to was the officiating with these replacement officials. And as I mentioned, you know, get used to these guys and gals because they could very well be out there in weeks to come. There is no sign at this point that this lockout is coming to an end between the regular officials and the league. And that is not something that the Giants are going to waste any time over or lose any sleep over. But you're right. There were calls that could have been made that weren't made. I'll throw even though another one out there. And I'm not trying to play devil's advocate and sit here and defend the officials. But there was a play where I think Kenny Phillips had a helmet-to-helmet hit that could have been called. And that could have moved the chains even further for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you could argue maybe the Giants got away with one there. He did lead with his head. It was a shoulder hit, but he lunged into the opposition. And you're not allowed to do that based on the interpretation of the rules. And there was a lot of pushing and shoving on the line. And as Jack touched on, there was holding by Rondé Barber. There was holding by Aqib Talib. I mean, Aqib Talib and Akeem Nix. Every time Nix left the line of scrimmage, it seemed as if either Talib was gassed, especially late in the game, and Talib was holding on to Nix for his dear life. And give credit to Nix for fighting through that, because that says a lot about the player. As I mentioned, it's easy to get frustrated at the officials. We see it on all levels of athletics in all types of sports. You let the officials get into the head of the athlete, and the athlete is taken out of the game. But the Giants didn't let that get to them. You know, you look over to the officials, you throw your hands up, you saw Cruz do it, you saw Nix do it, and then you're so frustrated that you basically start to give up on the game. And then you're not there bailing out your quarterback. And it's important to stay focused on the task at hand, and I think Nix and Cruz did a nice job at that. And even Eli Manning and the rest of the team. You've got to put the officials in the rearview mirror. They're there to do a job. The players are there to do a job. And this is not going to be the end of it. Those of you who watch football very closely and know the rule book, you're going to see a lot of calls. You're going to throw things at the television. You're going to throw things at the radio. And you're going to say to yourselves, how is this not called? It's going to happen. This is not the end of it. This is just the beginning. But that doesn't excuse Eli Manning for throwing three interceptions. That doesn't excuse Justin Tryon for not jumping to challenge a ball thrown at Mike Williams in the end zone. That doesn't excuse the Giants from not being able to run the ball consistently. And I know the Giants won this game, and I'm being nitpicky, and I'm just talking about examples that have been trends for the Giants. They're not going to point to the officials as excuses as to why they have not been able to execute consistently on offense or from one half to the other. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You want to talk about the game, give us a call. Chime in on the conversation. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow me on Twitter, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what you got?
Hey, Lance. I didn't get a chance to see the game, unfortunately. I did watch the Eagles-Ravens game. Just a quick thing. You know, I mean, I heard a lot of people complaining about the officiating. I can definitely tell you that the officiating in that Eagles-Raven game was just as horrendous, and the officials were completely lost. Anyway, we're not talking about that game. Since I didn't see the game, and I do know that Eli threw a ton of interceptions, did he look shaky? I mean, were a lot of those tipped or passed, or were there just some balls that he shouldn't have thrown? And then also I did hear a lot of people talk about the secondary, which after watching the Dallas game, to be honest, I have a concern, but I always have a concern about our secondary. And then I also heard people mention that our pass rush wasn't there. And, yeah, if we can't get a pass rush in, then our secondary's going to be in trouble. And that's it. I can just take your answers off the air.
I appreciate the phone call, Drew. Thanks so much for weighing in. And listen, the secondary and the pass rush go hand in hand. I think that's pretty much stating the obvious. When you get a consistent pass rush, your secondary is not going to be left out to dry. And when your secondary is executing in man-to-man coverage, that gives your pass rush an opportunity to get to the quarterback. So, you know, when both of those things are working in sync, all 11 guys on the field are looking good, and there's not too many breakdowns. When they're not working in sync, you have some issues. And those were evident at times today, but I really don't put this game on the defense. Talking about the first half struggles, because as a result of Eli Manning's interceptions, Tampa Bay had favorable field position and was able to capitalize off of that field position. In the second half, there were some issues in the secondary. As I mentioned, Tryon, it's not a matter of not being able to stay with his man. It's a matter of just being aggressive and knowing where the football is and being able to challenge that. And you get a deflection, you can prevent a big-time play. You also had touched on Manning's interceptions, referring to Drew, our last caller, and he was asking, did it look as if it was just bad decision-making or there were tip balls or some deflections on the receivers, which we've seen in years past? Remember, a lot of the interceptions 2 years ago was not necessarily all on Eli Manning. It was because of the receivers sometimes getting a finger on the ball and then it going into the defense. Today, it was really bad decision-making on the part of Eli Manning. He underthrew, he overthrew, he tried to squeeze a pass into double coverage. It was a rough first half for Eli Manning. Credit to him, he turned things around. I mean, the fact that he wound up with 510 passing yards, he had two of his three touchdown passes in the second half, says a lot. And his completion percentage wasn't necessarily up there today. He was 31 of 51. They made big plays in the second half. And a lot of the magic last season was a result of those big plays. It wasn't necessarily evident last week. And you're not going to get the big plays every week. You're not going to get Victor Cruz for 80 yards. The Giants made a great play on that, but also Tampa Bay had a breakdown. There was a missed assignment there, and that's why Cruz ran right by the corner. Nobody was there over the top, safety help. Cruz made a play, and that's part of football. When another team falters, you got to sit back and take advantage of that. But Eli Manning, just to sum up his interceptions today, it wasn't necessarily on the lack of protection. It wasn't on the receivers not being in the right spot. It was him just not being in sync with some of his throws. And he'll probably be the first one to take full responsibility of that. But as I mentioned, you know, he bounced back in the second half, made the plays, and that's why they were able to walk away with an impressive 41-34 victory, as they did so many times last season when they had those fourth quarter comebacks. I mean, it says it all. If you didn't watch this game, just look at the box score. 25-7, the Giants outscored the Bucs in the fourth quarter. Some teams can't even put up 25 points in four quarters. The Giants put up 25 in one quarter. And one of the things we talked about during the week on Big Blue Kickoff, our morning show, and I mentioned it in the pregame show, Tampa Bay's defense was real impressive last week against the Carolina Panthers. They shut down Cam Newton. He had 4 yards on the ground. Panthers had 10 yards total. But Cam Newton threw for over 300 yards. So if there was going to be opportunities today, it was going to come through the air. I think it was a bonus that the Giants were able to run the football. Andre Brown, you know, took a step in the right direction. 13 carries, 71 yards. They just finished under 100 on the ground. They got 94. And they're going to continue to strive to get more of a balanced on offense. You don't want it to be 510 yards passing, 94-yard rushing. And a lot of the passing yard was a result because they were down. When you're down, you're going to throw more than you run. So every game is going to differ. That's the bottom line. But the Giants, once again, came up with the key plays when they needed the most. It was a tale of two halves. And that's a big reason why the Giants picked the right half to play fundamental, correct execution football. We go back to the lines, 201-939-4513. We go to Andrew in Florida. Andrew, what you got?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? For the first time in a long time, I'm actually singing the praises of the offensive line. I think that the game they play, I don't know how much of it is because of Deal went out. And, you know, Deal's been a good guy for us, but recently he has played that well. But with Locklear and Beattie at the tackle spots, I think they played an outstanding game. You know, they gave Eli Manning a bunch of time to throw, and they opened up the holes that they opened up. Andre Brown took advantage of them. So, I don't know. Do you think it's because of David Deal?
Well, Deal struggled last week against the Cowboys. Make no mistake about that. He was beaten at times off the edge. DeMarcus Ware, I think partially it's just the level of talent that the Giants were going up against. But, you know, was it a blessing in disguise that Deal went down? Listen, Deal's a guy they're going to rely on. He's got that veteran experience. He's got that chemistry with Eli Manning. And we don't know the severity of the knee injury at this point. I'm sure the team will try to give an update tomorrow. It's a very short week. The offensive line, though, bounced back this week compared to last week's performance in terms of pass protection, and they did take a step in the right direction in getting that running game going. And part of it, I think, was also Andre Brown's decision-making.
Yeah, that's how I was saying, because it looks like Andre Brown, he didn't really dance, man. As soon as he saw the hole, he just went. He just hit the hole. You know, there wasn't any hesitation.
That's right, and appreciate the phone call, Andrew. Listen, the tap shoes weren't on today. Okay, Andre Brown had his cleats on. And he took advantage of those holes and stuck right up the gut, went with the scheme. And it's not taking anything away from Bradshaw, because Bradshaw last week, if you watch that game closely, how many times did he turn nothing into something when it looked like he was going to lose 2 to 3 yards and all of a sudden gets a 1 or 2 yard gain? I mean, that says a lot about his ability to stick with the play and fight for the extra yardage. And Andre Brown did that as well today. And the other positive, I think, that, you know, we haven't really touched on was the fact that Brown also had 2 catches for 19 yards. And it's important for your running back to also play a role in the passing game to serve as a security blanket for Eli Manning. So the fact that he had nearly 100 yards total is a nice spark plug to be able to rely on moving forward. Also depending on Ahmad Bradshaw's status against the Carolina Panthers, as that game is Thursday night at 8:20. So it's a very quick turnaround for the Giants. That's why this win, you know, I don't like throwing out the must win. And I know a couple of people that throw that out earlier in the week. It was important for them not to get off to an 0-2 start, protect the home turf. But just because of the fact that you've got such a short week now, you want to have some type of momentum to build off of in the limited days of practice. I think this win could certainly take them a very long way. It may not be seen immediately in the coming days, but when you look back at this season big picture, this could be a game that you turn back to. And it could be the difference in making the postseason or being on the outside looking in. You know, it's games like this where you probably should have lost on paper, but you recovered, especially how close some of these division battles go. And the reason why this game was also important, because it was an NFC game. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could be a team that you may be battling with for a wild card spot. If you lose an AFC game, that's one thing. You lose NFC games, those are the ones that could very well come back to haunt you later on in the season. And John Schmelk, I thought, made a great statement earlier in the week on our show, and this was through Michael Eisen. You don't know the implications of a game like this until week 15 or week 16, which is why every game is so important within the NFL season. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. We go to Chris in Arizona. Chris, what you got?
Hey, Lance, how's it going, buddy?
Doing well, Chris. What you got?
Greg, first of all, with Eli Manning throwing the 3 picks, I am absolutely not worried about that at all. I live and die with Eli. We're good there. As far as the secondary, do you feel those are just some mental errors they had, possibly correctable over a good week of practice, or do you think we got some serious concerns there? And as far as the pass rush is concerned, you alluded to that you think that's just one of those games that it can, in fact, pick up at a later date. I kind of agree with that, so I'm just waiting to see what happens there. And how would you grade Will Beatty's performance? I mean, he's been a kind of up-and-down kind of guy. What do you think about that? Oh, and kudos to Andre Brown. That was a pretty good game. I really think he's going to get some extra touches behind that.
Absolutely, and appreciate the phone call, Chris. You did touch on a lot, so let's get to the two main points. First was Will Beatty's performance today, and second was the secondary. As far as Beatty is concerned, you know, this was the first game in which he really assumed his starting role because of Deal's injury. They were taking the same approach that they took with Marvin Austin today, as I mentioned. They're not going to throw the guy right back into the fire. They're going to move him along slowly, given all the preseason action that he missed, given all the practice time that he missed. Beatty, if you're talking about pass protection, as a unit, I think the offensive line improved compared to the Cowboy performance. The running game, they want to get better. 71 yards out of Brown, that was a huge lift for them today, especially with Bradshaw going down. So Brown, you know, stuck with what the offensive line gave him and took full advantage of that. Beatty overall, we're not really going to know how effective he can be until he gets a couple of more games under his belt. The positive is he's healthy now for the first time this season. And as long as he can maintain his health, now the offensive line can start to build continuity. If Deal is going to be out and it's going to be a couple of week injury, they're going to probably have Locklear assume that right tackle spot. Now, the positive with Locklear is Locklear has played on the right side throughout his entire career. He moved over to the left side now. He's a swing tackle at this point for the Giants because Beatty got hurt. So now Beatty's back, and now Deal goes down. It's the game of musical chairs. Welcome to the Giants' offensive line. We've seen this play out last season. We've seen it play out the seasons prior. The key for the Giants is, can they at least get 5 guys to stay healthy enough so that they can build off of one game to the other? Because so much of the offensive line's play is built on chemistry and everyone being on the same page. If you have one guy go down, you move in another guy, you take your center, you move him to guard, you move your tackle to guard, it's very hard for an offensive line to build any continuity. So that's the key moving forward. If the 5 guys, with the exception of Deal, can stay on the field at the same time, that's going to allow the Giants to improve in pass protection and improve in running the football. But you can't expect to have any consistency in those two areas if the same personnel is not on the field from week to week. Regarding the secondary, a lot of mental mistakes continually be shown from week to week, and that is something that can be corrected. Once again, this is not a scheme thing. This is not an X's and O's. This is not something that Perry Fuel needs to dig deep into his bag of tricks, revamp the entire secondary. They're not dragging in a guy who's been sitting on the couch for the last couple of weeks, because if the guy is sitting on the couch and or he was that good, he would have been wearing an NFL uniform at this point. So you're not going to get a savior overnight. The Giants are going to get better in that department, just as they're going to get better with the offensive line once everybody gets healthy. Prince Amukamara, Corey Webster were their intended starters when minicamp started. Prince Amukamara and Corey Webster have not been on the field together for all 4 quarters of one game. It's hard to assess the secondary at this point. How can you give a full grade on this secondary or get a nice picture of this secondary if everybody hasn't been on the field? Everybody hasn't had an opportunity to contribute and perform. Michael Coe, I think, has been good in terms of his ability to move around and play his different matchups. Justin Tryon has had his ups and downs. Even Corey Webster's had his ups and downs. Now, he was beat last week against the Cowboys. Had a better performance today. And once again, he's going to be another guy that they're going to look to have a level of consistency that they can rely on. And they'll hope that the other corner that they line up opposite him can provide complementary play. So don't hit the panic button yet. Don't feel as if the Giants need to scour the waiver wire, need to look at a free agent. They're going to work with the guys that they have currently on the roster. But they got to get healthy before you start grading people, before you start determining who carved out what role. I think the depth is slowly getting back to what they anticipated in the preseason when they had five or six corners that they felt and they had confidence in that they could throw out at any point in the season and work within their variety of packages. Optimism is high, perhaps, that Prince Amukamara, the fact that they were able to rest him an additional day, could be on the field Thursday. But remember, it's an ankle injury. And an ankle injury is the type of injury that if you throw out a guy out there too soon and he re-aggravates it, all of a sudden what appeared to be a 1 to 2 week injury turns out to be a 4 to 6 week injury. So if you're the Giants medical staff, would you rather have a guy sit out 1 to 2 weeks or would you rather have a guy out for 2 months? You got to prepare for the long run here. And I think that the Giants have that type of mindset. That's why they were slow with how they brought back Beedy and they were slow with how they brought back Marvin Austin. A thrilling victory for the Giants today. If you missed any point of it, if you weren't able to chime in on the conversation, we'll be back tomorrow morning. John Schmelk will join me. We'll have Big Blue kickoff 9:30 to 10:30. You can call in, so keep the number handy, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow me on Twitter and continue to interact with me on Twitter at Lance Meadow, last name M-E-D-O-W. Eli Manning throws for 510 yards today. 3 touchdowns. It wasn't pretty in the first half. 3 interceptions. Tampa Bay turned that into 21 points. But the Giants, at the end of the day, proved that you can maybe get away with a sluggish first half. It's not how you start. It's the old phrase, the old cliche. It's how you finish. And the Giants finished strong with 25 points in the fourth quarter. Big plays down the stretch. 80-yard touchdown strike to Victor Cruz. 33 yards to Martellus Bennett. Antrell Roll forces the ball to pop out of Mike Williams' hands. Had that catch gone through, we could have been looking at an overtime battle. A lot of game changers over the course of the fourth quarter. Just to give you a picture of how the rest of the division is playing out, the Eagles squeaked out a 24-23 victory over the Ravens today. So the Eagles improved to 2-0. The Cowboys are currently playing the Seahawks, and it is Seattle up 10-7, as that is early on in the second quarter. As I mentioned, we'll be back tomorrow morning for Big Blue Kickoff. You could join us 9:30 to 10:30. Special thanks to my producer, John Vasquez, for his help today. Enjoy the victory. It was painful at times. It was exciting at times. It was thrilling at times. At the end of the day, the Giants get their first win of the season. They even their record at 1-1. Manning's 510 yards propel the Giants to a 41-34 victory over the Bucks. Have a good one.